Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Every bit of it, Jesus. All of it, Lord. It's yours. It's yours. Amen. He has went through more than we can ever imagine. He is worthy. Well, it's going to be a little bit different. You may be seated this morning. Kat, I need you to stay. Brother Shell wanted to make this presentation himself, but he's just been battling sickness. I can't imagine, you know, to have to be anointed like he is and to have the gift that's in him and to not be able to minister. That's got to be just tough. He wanted to be here, but he couldn't. This is something that he wanted to present to Kathy and I, and he wanted the church to see it. And so I'm just going to have Kat open it. She loves opening presents, especially in front of everyone. I kind of get the sense that folks are kind of battle weary right now. I don't know if I'm accurate or not, but I kind of have that feeling that a lot of folks are in that place right now. There's maybe some people here that are a little bit tired. I believe God's going to help you here in just a minute. There's several layers here. I was hoping it was a picture of someone else. I was really hoping it was a picture of my mom and dad. That was, I had my fingers crossed. Brother Shell's a photographer. We look younger. Well, maybe we'll keep it then. That's just a joke. I even have white teeth then. This is from Brother Shell to us, so he wanted y'all to see that. Here you go, baby. Thank you, Brother Shell, if you're watching. We're going to have a word of prayer for Brother Shell, and we're going to pray for several people. That was the main impression that I had this morning before I talked to you for just a little bit, because people they're tired. I mean, the battle's been pretty brutal. Let me just ask this, because there's very well could be somebody in here feels like they're dealing with a lot of opposition, and you can have a tendency to feel like you're all alone. Who in here has been dealing with some opposition? Just raise your hand. If you've been feeling alone in that, just look around. Raise your hand again so everybody can see. You're not alone. You're not alone. There's a lot of people that are in a battle right now. And Brother Shell is in a battle. And so I'm going to pray for everybody, but I'm going to lift up a few people in particular. And if you would join with me as I pray. Father, we pray for Brother Shell. We lift him to you. You are well able, God. You are well able. And Lord, I don't even know exactly what to pray other than help us, Lord. We need you, God. We need your strength. We need your grace that we might endure. Lord, you have given us prophetic words. You told us that the war is not over, but we win in Jesus' name. And God, that bears truth, that bears witness in the scripture, because you told us in all things we are more than conquerors. And so, Father, we believe you that the fight is fixed, and we pray, God, raise Brother Shell up in the name of Jesus. Strengthen him. Encourage him, God. I pray, put fresh wind in his sails, God. I pray, Father, give him a refreshing in Jesus' name. God, just give him the rest that he needs, that he's able to be invigorated, God, and just come out of this place that of weariness. weariness, Father, in the name of Jesus. I cannot imagine the frustration, God, of being anointed of you with the gift of God in a man and him unable to minister that, God. And I lift him to you in Jesus' name. And God, we lift our precious sister Linda to you today as she is in the midst of this battle. God, we believe you. We believe you. We believe you. And we pray for Philip, God, as they are in this together, God, that you would just minister to them, Father. Help them, God. They're in the fight of their life. And we trust you, God, that you're going to show yourself mighty. God, we have been praying for the miraculous. We have been praying for healings, God. And it seems like the more we pray, the more people are in the midst of the battle of sickness and disease. And God, we're just asking you, as that song declared just a few minutes ago, turn this thing around, God. Turn this thing around, God. Just begin to go through this congregation one after another, God, and turn around these situations like the circumstance that our dear brother Mike is facing, God. And we know Piper is right in the middle of that battle with him, Lord. We pray, turn it around, God. Turn it around, God. I know the doctors can't do anything, God. They've already washed their hands of it. They've already said, well, there's nothing more we can do. And God, we're okay with doctors, and we're thankful for doctors. But God, there are things they cannot do. But Lord, there is nothing impossible for you. And God, you promised us. I've been standing on this, Lord. Psalm 103:3 declares you heal all our diseases, God. And Father, if you did not mean that, I wish that you would have not said that, because God, I hold to that, Father, and I believe that to be true, God. We have seen you heal so many people, God, and Lord, we are not going to be satisfied until you heal them all. In Jesus' name, God, we believe you, Father, to move on behalf of these people that we love, God. As Miss Christie, Father, we just lift her to you in the name of Jesus. Turn this thing around, God. Turn it around, God, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I don't have to mention names. You know every person. You told us. I read it this morning, God, that you know what I need before I even pray it, God. And Father, I've been praying. I've been asking you for the compassion that you have, God, that I would pray like Jesus prayed so I could see the things that Jesus saw. God of heaven, move, Father. Move on our behalf, God. Just begin to sweep across this place in the power of the miraculous, God. Signs, wonders, and miracles, God. People healed of every manner of sickness and disease. Jesus showed up and he healed them all. We're asking you to show up, Lord, and heal them all. Those that are in the midst of tremendous spiritual battles, God, I lift them to you, God. Give them grace to not only endure, but the grace to overcome and win in Jesus' name. God of heaven, bring victory into the lives of your people. I pray, breathe fresh life in this place, God. Lord, I'm reminded, I've watched the documentaries of the wars of this nation, and I'm reminded of the times that the battles looked like they were slipping away, and the times that it looked like it was going to go the wrong way. But Lord, somehow, some way, we always overcame, and I believe it was because of you, Lord. I believe you turned it around, God, and I'm asking you to turn it around. God, as soldiers in foxholes are weary, God, your people are weary. Turn it around, God. Turn it around. In Jesus' name, I pray it. I ask it, God. I believe it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know it's not Father's Day, and I normally don't preach Father's Day sermons on Father's Day. I just preach what I feel like the Lord has given me that week, and I'm going to preach a Father's Day sermon a week ahead of time. I can't explain these things. I really, when God gave me this word, I thought he was giving it to me for Father's Day. If you go look on my calendar, I've got the scripture circled, and I wrote Father's Day. But it's not Father's Day, and this is all I have. And so it may be a two-part. I don't know. But I want to speak to the men this morning, and certainly this applies to women as well. But in 1 Kings chapter 2, 1 Kings chapter 2, we're just going to kind of go through that chapter. First Kings chapter 2, verse 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Now we all know we're not under the law of Moses, we're under grace, and I'm so grateful for that. So that part, that part does not apply to us at all. Now if you're lost, you are under the law of Moses. If you're here and you're not born again, you are under the law of Moses and you're under a curse. Not my idea, not my theology. That's the word of the Lord. And that's no good place to be. I've been watching Dr. Jordan Peterson recently, and in 25 years of his psychological practice, he was a licensed psychiatrist, he makes this frightening statement. He said, in 25 years of practice, I've never seen anyone get away with anything. He says that through tears. He said, I've never seen anyone get away with anything. He said, when people choose to live lives that are contrary to morality and righteous living, when they make the choice that they're going to do what's wrong regardless, they reap a payday for that. I'm glad for grace. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Hallelujah. Our covenant is established upon better promises. But surely none of us here believe that God does not command us to love Him and love each other. I mean, that's the simplicity of it. The New Testament is crystal clear on these matters. So the last part of the verse may not be ours, but I have no doubt this is at least a type and a shadow of how we should conduct our lives as men, especially in the day in which we live. And David, he charged his son Solomon. He gave him this command, be strong. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. I'm telling you, we need some men today. Any kind of masculinity in our culture is looked at as toxic. And that's the biggest load of garbage. When Paul was talking there in his letter to the Philippian church, and he talked about all the things. I'm a Hebrew of Hebrew, born of the tribe of Benjamin, circumcised the eighth day as of following the law of Moses, perfect in every way. And he said, I count all of that as dung. That word is a Greek word. It's skubala. The idea that all masculinity is toxic is bull scubala. It just is. We need men. I'm telling you, some of you don't have any idea because you've never seen what men in this congregation do. The hard work, the hard jobs that, I mean, it's crazy what men do in this nation. And some of you already did it. I mean, I'm one of those guys. I have a good friend. He calls me a youster. I'm a youster is what he says. I used to do this and I used to do that, but I don't do that stuff anymore. I'm a youster. But when I was working at this plant down here, we had 180 barrel vessels. They had 30-inch man heads, one on the side that was toward the bottom, one was on the top, the very top of the vessel, and they were filled with bauxite. We called it filter clay around here, and we would literally filter wax under heat and high pressure. And when those things, when they'd run their course, when the bauxite could no longer filter the wax, we'd wash it out with naphtha, then we'd steam it for 12 hours, and then we would dump the bauxite out, and in the middle hall where the heads were on the bottom section, in the summertime, it was always 150, sometimes hotter. And we go in these vessels that had just been steamed for 12 hours, And it was probably close to 200 degrees. And we'd go in there. Back in those days, safety was not a deal back in those days. They don't let you do that stuff now. I'd go in there without a shirt. It's hard to believe now. But I could literally dive through that 30-inch man head and not touch anything and land inside that vessel and you'd work. You could usually get it done in about 15 minutes. You didn't really want to be in there longer than that. If you had to stay in there longer than that, you usually come out and then go back. But when you'd come out of that vessel, 150 degree temperature, you'd get goosebumps all over your body. I'll let that sink in for just a second. You might not think you can get goosebumps when it's 150. But if you just came out of 200, that's quite a change. We have guys in here that weld 1.5-inch, 2-inch, 3-inch steel. Now, if you don't understand what that involves, that is pass after pass after pass. And in the hot summertime, the heat is unbelievable. We have guys in here that build houses, guys in here that work in the oil field, that do things that if you were to follow them for one day, I love what Donnie's dad used to say. He said, boy, if I lashed you to my belt, I'd drag you to death by noon. We need men. And David charged Solomon, be strong therefore, and be a man. And God is calling the men of this house to rise up, be strong, and be a man. I don't care what they say about us, and they're going to say stuff. I just don't care. You know, I'm 61 years old and I just don't care. They can say whatever they want to say. I don't care. I'm not going to call them a he, she, or him. I'm not going to call them what they want me to call them. I'm not calling them furries. You're either a man or a woman. And if you don't know what that is, the next time you're in the bathroom, just look down. It's not complicated. There's two genders, and we need the men to be men. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 5, David instructing Solomon on how to be a man. Moreover, you know also what Joab the son of Zeruiah did to me and what he did to the two commanders of the armies of Israel, to Abner the son of Ner and Amasa the son of Jether, whom he killed. And he shed the blood of war in peacetime. And he put the blood of war on his belt that was around his waist and on his sandals that were on his feet. Therefore do according to your wisdom and let not his gray hair go down to the grave in peace. David said, Joab shed the blood of war in peacetime. You say, well, what does that mean for us? We've got to be careful not to shed the blood of war in peacetime. The parameters of war has changed. It has. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. If you think that men are still your enemy, you're wrong. Men are not your enemy. I don't care who they are or what they've done. Men are not your enemy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. In Colossians 1 and 19, it says, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled. God has made peace with men. And I know somebody's going, but Jesus said, and I know what Jesus said. Jesus said, do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. The world is at war with the church. But we are not at war with the world. Peter didn't fight when they crucified him upside down. James took the spear that took his life in India. Stephen bowed his knees to the ones that stoned him and said, Father, do not lay this sin to their charge. The world is at war with the church, but we are not at war with the world. Our enemies are not seen. They are unseen. And the quicker we figure that out, the better off we're going to be. Solomon put Joab to death for shedding the blood of war in peacetime. And God is calling us to put to death whatever is in us that desires to shed the blood of war in peacetime. We are to make peace with men, not war. Men are not your enemy. Some of you need to hear this, that your wife is not your enemy. The Bible tells us to love her and give ourselves for her, to her, as Christ gave himself to the church. Men are not our enemy. Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn it. He came to save it. And he left us here to finish the job. That's our job. Do you understand that? Our job is to win the world for Jesus. And if you don't win anything except your family, then win your family. In 1 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to move on because that went over really well. Verse 8, it says, and see, you have Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjamite from Bahurim, who cursed me with a malicious curse in the day that I went to Manahim. And he came down to meet me at the Jordan, and I swore to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put you to death with the sword. Now therefore do not hold him guiltless, for you're a wise man, and know what you ought to do to him. But bring his gray hair down to the grave with blood. Are you born again? Are you saved? I'm asking you. You need to answer to the Lord, not me. Have you been changed by Jesus? Has his spirit came and made his home inside you? Is the Lord your Lord? Now, if you're saved, Sozo is one of the Greek words you use to describe the work of salvation in a believer's heart. You cannot be cursed by any outside influence. If you're born again, you can't be cursed. If you're not born again, you can't be blessed. Shimei cursed David with a malicious curse, and David instructed Solomon to bring him down with blood. In other words, I want you to kill Shimei. David said, I promised not to, but I didn't say you wouldn't. So get the job done for me. So what does that mean for us? No man can curse us. We are blessed and highly favored. We have the glory of God on our lives. So how does this verse apply to us? In James chapter 3, it says in verse 1, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive the stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder. Wherever the pilot desires, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. As a bit in a horse's mouth allows the rider to control direction, as a rudder on a ship, the small piece of wood that steers the entire vessel, as a tiny flame can set an entire forest on fire, so is our tongue in our lives. Now, I know this is a word for men, but ladies, you can use this one too. I heard God say this week, He said, this is the time. Today is the day. We were singing it just a little bit ago. Turn this thing around. Turn this thing around. Turn this thing around. Turn this thing around. Today is the day to turn this thing around and you kill what has been cursing you. Mike can't curse me. I can't curse Mike. It don't matter if I can curse him all I want to. The curse will come back to me. If you are born again, if somebody curses you, it bounces off if they curse you, it bounces off you and goes right back to them. See, some of y'all need to figure this out because you've been talking bad about people and then the same things you've been saying have been happening to you. And you're wondering, how does this do this? The Bible tells us that no man can tame the tongue. But the Bible also tells us in Christ we can do all things. I'm going to let that sink in just a second. Jesus is here today to help us kill what is cursing us. Jesus is here today to help us steer our lives in a better direction. What you say has a dramatic impact on your life. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and your ears don't need to hear any voice more than it hears yours declaring what God says over your life. If you've ever had a word of prophecy spoken over you, if you've ever read Psalm 103, if you've ever read Psalm 23, if you've ever read Psalm 91, if you've ever read Ephesians 6, if you've ever read Matthew 6, if you've ever read John 3:16, if you've ever read the blessings that are in this book, if they're not coming out of your mouth, it's not God's fault. He's given you the privilege and the opportunity. He put the power in your tongue. You can steer your entire life with what you say. You need to hear your voice. And you need to hear it blessing you and not cursing you. I'm telling you, God sent me here today to tell somebody, stop cursing yourself. Stop it. Stop it today. Kill it today. Today's the day. Don't go another day doing that. Stop saying how worthless you are. Stop saying how wounded you are. Stop saying how sick you are. Stop saying how bad it is. Stop saying it's not changing. Stop saying this is never going to turn around. Start saying, I am the blessed of the Lord and I am highly favored. The Lord God Almighty satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. All of them. He crowns me with loving kindness and tender mercies. How surely goodness and mercy, they're following me all the days of my life. Kill what is cursing you. Well, I just always struggle with anger, and I guess I'm always going to struggle with anger. Stop. My daddy was depressed, and my granddaddy was depressed, and his daddy was depressed, and we're just all so depressed. And you wonder why you're depressed. He did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. My granddaddy died of Alzheimer's. My daddy died of Alzheimer's. I'm not dying of Alzheimer's. The curse stops here. Hallelujah. I'm not cursed, I'm blessed. Now Jesus tells us, He said, now don't cast your pearls before swine. What does that mean? If you tell somebody how blessed you are, and they turn on you, you just figured out who the pig is in your life. You don't have to tell them they're a pig. I would encourage you not to. You don't have to acknowledge they're a pig. My advice, just don't tell them no more. They'll wonder why you're so quiet around them, but don't worry about it. It's your ears that need to hear how blessed you are. Everybody else's ears and it's been good for me that some of you have said it because I learned. I'm glad somebody told me. But not everybody wants to hear it. Just figure that out. I heard God say it. He said, it is time today to kill the thing that is cursing us. By His grace, I will no longer curse myself. In verse 13, and this is the last part. Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, do you come peaceably? And he said, peaceably. Moreover, he said, I have something to say to you. And she said, say it. And he said, you know, that the kingdom was mine. And all Israel had their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you, do not deny me. And she said to him, say it. Then he said, please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite, his wife. And Abishag was the woman that they gave to David, beautiful Shunammite. And they knew when David was not attracted to her, he was dead. Some of y'all figure that out eventually. So Bathsheba said, very well, I'll speak to you for the king. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah, and the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said to her, ask it, my mother, for I'll not refuse you. So she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, his wife. And King Solomon answered and said to the mother, now why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also. In other words, if you're going to ask for the Shunammite woman, just ask him for the whole kingdom. For he's my older brother, for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, may God do so to me and more also if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Therefore, as the Lord lives, who's confirmed me and set me on the throne of David, my father, and who's established a house for me, as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today. So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down and he died. I got to ask you the question, what is trying to steal the kingdom from you? What's trying to steal the kingdom from you? Now you're going to have to answer that, and I don't need to hear it. But you know what's trying to steal the kingdom from you. The kingdom of God is righteousness. Right standing with God, it's more than right standing. And I'm still trying to figure it out. That's why I haven't talked about it much lately. The Bible says he who knew no sin was made sin, that we become the righteousness of God in Christ. And I've been asking the Lord, what does that mean? What is the righteousness of God? I want to know what the righteousness of God is that we have, Father. I'm curious. I want to know. Because I know what it seems to say, but I want to know what that means. Now, I can't define it. I can't just break it down. But I can tell you that we are the righteousness of God. The Bible tells us so. We're the righteousness of God. We're not right with God. That is such a poor definition of righteousness. We are the righteousness of God. Whatever that is, I can't define that. But that's what we are. Makes me feel good just to say that. Can't get no, that this much I know, you can't get any more righteous than that. There's no improving on that. We are at the apex of righteousness. That much I know. Now, breaking it down further, I cannot. But it makes me feel good to know I'm righteous. So are you here today and there's sometimes you feel like you're righteous, the righteousness of God, and other times you don't? What is it that is trying to steal the kingdom of God away from you? Because the righteousness of God is part of the kingdom in you. The Bible says it's peace that passes all understanding. In other words, it doesn't matter what comes. Your peace transcends understanding. There's no reason for you to have this peace. There's nothing going on in your life that would cause you to have peace, and yet you have peace anyway. What is it that's trying to steal your peace? The Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If you're weak and weary, it's probably because you're lacking in joy. What is stealing your joy? Kill it. Adonijah tried to steal the kingdom from Solomon. Solomon didn't, he didn't pat him on the back and say, "Oh, brother, that's my woman. I'm keeping her. You go on now." He said, no. He's trying to steal the kingdom. He just spoke his own death sentence. If you begin to get that, that whatever speaks to you that takes your righteousness, your peace, and your joy, whatever voice just said that is fixing to die. He didn't say, "I'm going to keep him close where I can sit and listen to him talk to me a lot." Sing. Heads need to roll. If you cut the head of it off, it'll shut up. What does the Holy Spirit say that's stealing the kingdom of God from you? I'm not going to go through a litany of possibilities. I just told you what the kingdom is. You know what's trying to steal the kingdom from you. You know what's trying to rule over your life, over God. You know what is trying to steal the kingdom. What is trying to steal your health? What is trying to steal your peace? What is trying to steal your joy? What is trying to steal your righteousness? I'm telling you, Jesus is here today to help you kill those things. To put an end to them, to do away with them, to give you the victory over the things that's stealing God's perfect rule over your life, because that's what the kingdom of God is. It's God's perfect rule over your life. And I know, well, somebody might say, well, what if it comes back? Because we do have a tendency to resurrect things. If we resurrected people as easily as we resurrect pride, we'd be amazing. Paul said this. He said, "I die daily." And he died so Jesus could live. And when Jesus is alive, that's really all we need. When they come back to remind, when they come back, remind them that they're dead. Remind them of this every day if that's what's necessary. Jesus gave you the victory over them. Remind them that Jesus is your king and not them. And I'll be the first to admit, we kill pride often. Glenn Meldrum said it, and it's true. He said, pride is the last to go, the first to return. It's a reality. But just because we have to keep killing it and killing it and killing it, we are progressively getting closer and closer and closer to the God that manifested in the flesh 2,000 years ago and paid the ultimate price to redeem us to Himself. Now, even if we kill it every day, we're winning. We need to think intentionally. We need to speak intentionally. We need to stop allowing random words of cursing to flow from our mouths. You are winning. You're winning because God said you're winning. Remember that. No matter how hard life gets, and anybody that's alive knows life gets hard. It is so hard, none of us get out of it alive. If you belong to Jesus, you're winning. You can't lose unless you quit. Your enemy will not prevail against you. The war may not be over. I'm reasonably certain it is not. But you win. You win. Let's stand to our feet this morning, afternoon. evening, night, whatever time it is. Kill it. Just go ahead and kill it. Jesus is going to help you. Remember what I taught not too long ago? The prison is open. The prison door is open. If you're still in the cell, it's just because you've stayed there. The door's open. If the enemy has held you in shackles and chains, they are unlocked. When you gave your life to Jesus, He unlocked the chains. He unlocked them. They're unlocked. Just take them off and walk away. And sometimes we walk back into the mess. I get that. His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. He's more than enough. I'm telling you, He does not throw us away. He doesn't give up on us. I've never met anybody that loves like Jesus. I've never met anybody that is so good like Jesus. I've never met anybody. And my wife has loved me well for a long time. I've never understood it. But my understanding for the love of Jesus is even less. Because I was way worse to Him than I was to her. And He loved me anyway. And He loves you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's not giving up on you. Stop believing those lies. Some of you just need to believe the truth. That God did not come into the world to condemn it, but He sent His Son to save it. And the fact that you're here is proof He wants to save you. If you're not saved, get saved today. Say, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe that You died for my sins. I believe that You resurrected from the dead. I believe You, Jesus. I believe You're the only way. And I place my hope and my trust and my faith in You. We'll go out to the lake right now. I baptized a guy yesterday morning. I baptized a guy. I'm into it. I'll baptize you in these clothes. I won't take my shoes off. I don't care. I'll get in the water with what I got on. I'll set my phone in the truck. You say, why are you in such a hurry? Because I don't know if you'll be alive tonight. And you don't either. Preachers say that and people just write it off. Then we get in a funeral of some young kid that had a car wreck. And we see that the preacher ain't lying. None of us know. We're not guaranteed our next breath. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. And if you are saved, you need to stop cursing yourself. You need to stop. You need to start blessing yourself. Your ears need to hear you say that you're blessed and highly favored. Your ears need to hear Psalm 103, 1 through 5, Psalm 91, all of it. Psalm 23, all of it. Matthew 6, the Lord's Prayer. You need to hear what Paul said in his first chapter of the letter to the Ephesians. You need to hear what Paul said you are. You need to hear it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you need to kill whatever it is that's trying to take the kingdom from you. Cut its head off. If it shows back up tomorrow, cut it off again. How would you treat a dog that was chewing on one of your children or your grandchildren? You treat whatever's trying to steal the kingdom from you with that same fierceness, but it has to be in the Spirit. Father, bless Your people. Bless them, God. I pray, Father, that today people will be determined by Your grace and Your goodness and the power of the Spirit of holiness to kill those things, God, that's keeping them from being the men and, yes, the women of who You've called them to be, God. Lord, You said that the men are to be strong and be, they're to be men. You called them to be men, God. You did not call them to be wimps. You did not call them to be neutral. You didn't call them to cave in to society or culture. You called them to surrender to you, God, and that we'd be mighty in the Lord and the power of His might. God of heaven, may we be fierce against those things that would attack the kingdom of God within us, within our family, God. May we be mighty men of God, Father, raising up our families to be followers of Jesus, believing you for the good things that you've said about every one of us. Thank you, Lord. Bless your people. Bless them, God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. God bless you. I'll pray for anybody. I'll baptize anybody. If you need something, I'm here to help. But otherwise, go eat some lunch. Go get you some chicken. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.